Welcome back to another episode of Sportscastle. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
There's plenty happening in the Newcastle and Hunter region this week. It's probably a little bit lighter on, but still plenty to talk about, Jared, as we start to head into the rugby seasons, and the weather's certainly making it feel a bit like it's tailing into winter.
Yeah, the rugby boys and the league boys will be very happy with a bit of moisture on the ground, mate, so they won't graze their elbows.
Yeah, well, that's if they can get on, mate. That's going to be half the battle, but I guess we'll wait and see. We might start off, speaking of league, with the Country Rugby League representative fixtures, the preliminary rounds of the Andrew Johns Laurie Daly Cups and the Country Rugby League Championships have all come to an end, and unfortunately for Newcastle, while they finished on a reasonably positive note, the under-16s Andrew Johns Cup won 22-10 over the North Coast Bulldogs. And the Laurie Daly Cup had a 22-all draw with the North Coast Bulldogs. So, unfortunately, though, they don't make the final. That sees the Andrew Johns Cup team finish fifth in their pool with the top two progressing, which is Northern Rivers and Greater Northern Tigers. And the Laurie Daly Cup finished fourth in their pool, just a win outside of second position, which went to Parramatta Eels. But the team that had a draw with finished first, the North Coast Bulldogs. So probably a bit of positives to take out of that, mate. But unfortunately, no finals action.
Yeah, finish the season on a high, mate, rather than a loss. But I suppose it's a good way to finish. But yeah, they had all the four games at home, so maybe they got spurred on to try and outdo each other, mate.
They certainly did up at Maitland there, mate. And then you had the women's in the 23s. The women's continue the good form again against North Coast Bulldogs. They got a 14-4 win. Excuse me. But however, the men couldn't continue things on. They got drubbed 62-0. Against the North Coast Bulldogs. Owen Blair from the North Coast Bulldogs got a personal tally of 34 points. Tries, 9 goals.
That was a good day out in the wet conditions, mate.
Mate, that's a career day in any conditions. You know, especially in representative football, so he must have had spiders on him the whole game, mate.
Yeah, looks like it by the sounds of it, but yeah, well done to them, mate. They killed it.
Yeah, exactly right. So, again, unfortunately for the, for the Newcastle sides, they don't progress to the semi-finals. That'll see them. Let's have a look where that winds them up. So they finished 7th overall out of 10 teams in the women's and 9th in the men's, only registering the one win from their four games between the two sides. So Not the best of seasons, but we know the men's, they probably struggle a little bit. They're playing out of their class because they are picked from that Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League side, so they don't have all of the young guns that play in the Newcastle Rugby League for the likes of, you know, your West, your South, Macquarie Central, all those sorts of sides. So unfortunately for them, yeah, it makes it certainly quite difficult. But great effort by the guys turning up and putting in some efforts 2 weeks in a row in some pretty ordinary conditions both weeks. So well done, and probably an improvement on last season for them. So it's good to see them progressing in the right direction.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Hopefully gained a lot of experience and a lot of friendships out of the 2 weekends, mate.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about friendships, mate. This isn't rugby union. They're there to win games.
Holding hands, you want them to
finish. Yeah, singing Kumbaya afterwards in prayer circles or something, I'm not sure. Another note, mate, congratulations to a guy who was pretty instrumental in helping us out with a few bits of access and information last year, Dave Wild, who was a part-time admin role under Country Rugby League running the Newcastle Hunter Rugby League, and now they've elevated him to full-time position as the competition development and support officer to look after the men's and women's competitions under Newcastle Hunter Rugby League banner. So that's great news both for Dave and for the Newcastle Hunter Rugby League that they're Country Rugby League are seeing the growth in that. It looks like they're going to have more than 50 teams across all grades this year, which will be Newcastle and Hunter Community Rugby League men's, the women's tackle and the women's league tag. So that's exciting news, mate.
It is. How many divisions are going down to this year, mate?
I believe there'll be 7, so it'll still be A, B, C and D grade in the men's, as I understand. And then I'm assuming they'll have possibly two grades of the women's league tag and one grade of women's tackle will essentially be the format unless, something changes. But I spoke to Dave and Paul Arundale today just in regards to trials, and they're still just sort of finalising the makeup of the competition. The kickoff's only a couple of weeks away. But, certainly they're quite buoyant and confident about increasing the number of teams from last year and looking at the new opportunities with, you know, an expanded ladies tackle comp and, you know, a few of those other things. I was actually driving through Karua this evening. I saw some ladies tackle girls look like training there at Karua at the Oval. So plenty happening, mate, in all sorts of far-flung corners of the Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League universe.
Yeah, that's right. They're definitely, you know, they're going from strength to strength and, yeah, growing all the time, which is great. So hopefully they can keep it up, mate. Then it transforms into their representative teams for next season.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. We'll just wait and see how that all progresses. But while we're on rugby league, mate, we might move on to the hometown boys, the Knights. They turned out in front of a crowd in the early 20,000s on Friday night in the awkward 6 o'clock time slot. Great to see the local Hunter region getting behind them. They got a bit better weather than their round ball counterparts, that is for sure. It was a fine night, and they started off with their New South Wales Cup team having a comfortable win over Newtown, the Cronulla Sharks feeder team, which was great to see. Great to see a couple of big names, including a Herman Sasa and Tau Tau Moga, get through that one unscathed. But the big game, mate, the Knights, they managed to knock off the Sharks 14 points to 8. What would be... it was a bit of a grind, a bit of an arm wrestle. You might have described it as dour, mate. Tries to Tim Glasby and Edric Lee. Two conversions to Caelan Ponga and a penalty goal. That saw their 14 points versus the Sharks 8. A try to Katoa converted by Johnson and a Johnson penalty goal. Now, I know you didn't catch every single bit of the action, mate, but you caught the majority of it. What were your thoughts? Who impressed you the most?
Well, yeah, like you said, it was a bit of a grind, but might have played into the Knights' favour. They've obviously steeled their defence a little bit. Yeah, I thought Michael Hunt was pretty handy on club debut, mate, and... Yeah, you can't go past the big, bopping new recruit up front. David Clemmer, mate, led from the front and, yeah, rolled his socks up or pulled him down or did something, but he looked impressive, mate.
Yeah, Dave Clemmer was impressive, mate. I'll be honest, I wasn't unimpressed, but I wasn't impressed by Heimel Hunt. The man for me, and a lot of people might poo-poo this a little bit because he did, you know, give away what, you know, the penalty try, whether it wasn't, you know. But Edric Lee, for me, was the difference between the two sides. There was twice you saw him hit up and in on Dugan and he rushed him. Essentially, they should have scored both times and he shut down instances, not allowing Dugan to get the pass to his outside man, which would have all but certainly led to tries. So his defensive decisions and reads were excellent. I mean, obviously, you know, he shot up on that one as well and got the intercept to add to that. So that's three that he shut down. And again, that intercept, if he doesn't take that, the Sharks are in again. So not only did he score the intercept with a 12-point turnaround, but he's probably saved a few tries as well. So for mine, he was by far the best. I don't think anyone for the Knights was horrible. I was impressed by Gavet and Glasby. They got through their work and did a good job there. But yeah, they're probably the ones that stood out for myself. But yeah, plenty of good signs from most of the new signings, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I think, yeah, their defence, as you said, stood up, obviously individually and collectively, which is something they lacked last year. But, yeah, I suppose new combos, yeah, being at home, mate, has spurred them on.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. And look forward to that, them being at home again this weekend. Speaking of, mate, last weekend, before we get going, wasn't a great round in the tipping between us. We couldn't even manage a full total or perfect round between two of us.
That we couldn't, mate, but yeah, as they say, there's another week, so yeah, I'm sure we'll get 8 out of 8 this week, mate.
Well, between us, hopefully. So we'll have a look, mate. We'll start off with this week's fixtures and Thursday night. It's only just around the corner. It only feels like the first round just finished. The Dragons host the Rabbitohs at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium out there in Kogra. 10 to 8 kickoff on Thursday night, mate. Who do you like here and what are your thoughts? What's going to be the keys?
I think Frizzell is going to be a pretty big loss in that Dragons pack, mate. And they looked a little bit lacking last week against the Cowboys, but yeah, I didn't mind the look of South in the wet. They were pretty impressive, and I think if Reynolds carries on, mate, I think the South will get the job done by 10 points.
Yeah, look, I certainly think that they're already in dire straits with their back row stocks, the boys in red and white. I thought they were actually pretty good in the first half against, and they mustered up against the Cowboys, but they just couldn't go with Jason Taumalolo in the second half. And essentially, yeah, I think another dint in that back row stocks that's already missing, to Bellin, Frizzell and Corbin Sims, will really see them struggle. You know, they've got big raps on the young guy coming in, Blake Laurie, and I rate him as well. They're calling him George Rose's son. He's not got the traditional rugby league player of 2019's build, but look, I think the Rabbitohs will be too strong as well. I've gone by a slightly closer margin, the Rabbits by 8. Mate, the next one, it's a Sports Castle grudge match, GIO Stadium, the early time slot, 6 o'clock on Friday night. It is second place, fifth, mate. The Raiders playing the Storm. How does this one shape up for you?
Is the 6 o'clock Friday night game, is that the old 7 o'clock least favourite game of the weekend, mate?
What do you mean, 7 o'clock?
Remember the old 7 o'clock Monday night that they've now scrapped?
It could be, but then I would have thought that would have been, you know, there would have been a couple of games above the Knights and Sharks last week with what their predictions are. So, yeah, look, I just think it's varied around. And they look at some of those regional centres where they'll actually get a crowd, mate, I think is more so what the Friday 6 o'clock game is. And, you know, the Broncos don't have to play them, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely right. But yeah, I think this will be a good match, mate, too. Informed teams.
Mate, it's hard to call it inform off one round.
Oh, well, yeah.
One hot day doesn't make a summer.
Yeah, that is true. But, yeah, I suppose the Raiders will be fairly happy after their shutout last week, mate, of the Titans. And, yeah, Melbourne were... They played okay against Brisbane.
Mate, stop trying to play it down. They played extremely well against Brisbane. Completed... Did all the small things right. It wasn't flashy, but they did all the small things right.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with Hughes. Edmonds was outstanding. But,
mate, you talk Hughes down not that long ago. You're all about drink water, and I told you. If Hughes goes anywhere close to that for the rest of the time, then drink water's not getting a look in.
No, that's correct. But I think this will be a close one, mate. I think the Raiders will let a try in at least this week, and I'm
going to
go Storm by
4. Yeah, I think your boys are definitely the favourites for this one, mate, and justifiably so. We've still got a lot of new combinations finding their feet. Some guys out of position were fortunate to come up against a Titan side that lost Ash Taylor and then Tyrone Roberts early in the game. And so, yeah, certainly think it'll be a very different opposition this week, and we won't have the benefit of the lovely Canberra weather that normally gets put on in the middle of our season. So, look, I've gone the Storm to win this one by 12. What margin did you go, mate?
Just 4.
There you go. Righto. Next up, mate, is the Friday night. The Broncos back in what they'll call their rightful time slot, their super home game time slot, 5-8, Friday night. They host the Cowboys in the Queensland Derby. The Broncos are favourites here, but can they stop Jason Taumalolo and... The Tongan matchup, Taumalolo v Pangai Jr.
Yeah, it's going to be a good old battle. It's going to be interesting to see if the Broncos halves can pick it up after last week. Mate, sort of lacked a little bit, but I think having Pangai Jr. back will add a bit of penetration going forward.
They will miss Lodge, though.
They will miss Lodge, yes. But with that, mate, I'm going to stick with the trend of the away teams, and I think the Cowboys are going to get it done by 8.
Yeah, right. I'm going the Broncos to bounce back. Young Mr. Nikarima has some real pressure on him at the moment. There's a young guy by the name of Sean O'Sullivan who is going to be an absolute superstar, perfect game manager. I think in the long run, the best-looking Brisbane lineup is Milford at 6, O'Sullivan at 7, and... Nikarima at 14, he gives that injection off the bench of a bit of pace, and you know he can be a bit of spark then, which is his natural game. Neither him nor Milford are natural organisers, but I think they'll be able to neutralise Taumalolo through their young forward pack this week, which will go a long way to stopping the Cowboys. He was the big difference in that game last week, so I'm going to the Broncos to sneak home by 2.
Close one.
Yeah, next up, mate, we have the Cronulla Sharks hosting the Gold Coast Titans on Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock at Shark Park. Both sides coming off disappointing, probably by both of their standards. First up losses. The Titans obviously have now a new halves combination in Alexander Brimson and Riley Jacks.
Yeah, it is, mate. So it'll be interesting to see if they can click into gear. Obviously, Sharks will be very disappointed after last week's game. But I think being back at home, I think the Sharks will get the job done by 14, mate.
I've been reading my notes again, mate. I've got the Sharks to win this one by 16. I think Sean Johnson is going to kick into gear after a bit of a rusty start. Next up, mate, we've got the boys that are at home, the Knights. They host the Panthers. Look, the Panthers obviously were horrible last week. I can't expect that they'll turn out the same way again. So I guess the Knights, you know... not too much of a change. Obviously, Saifidi's out, which we'll see Herman Sasa elevated onto the bench. And that's pretty much the main change for them. The Panthers, again, just a few reshuffles around their bench, and, you know, the late changes they made last week have been settled back down with Egan back to the bench and Katoa back start listed to start at the hooker. Mate, what are the keys here? Who's going to win this one and by how much?
Yeah, as you said, I think Panthers will pick it up, so I suppose it's probably not the best week for the Knights to get them, but I think the Knights will get a big crowd again, mate.
I would expect on a Saturday afternoon time, so they'll get somewhere between 23 and 25 through the gates, especially if it is fine.
24,520, I reckon.
Yeah, right. Thank you for that. That's between 23 and 25, like I said.
I think the Knights will be spurred by that. I think Panthers will improve, but they won't have enough in this game, mate. I'm going to go to the Knights by 8.
I think the Panthers will bounce back. Look for Nathan Cleary to step up. He was very quiet last week and will be very disappointed. I'm going to go by the Panthers by the exact same margin of 8 points. Next up, mate, the Saturday evening... Also, the Saturday night game, the late game, 7:35, over there at Lotto Land, a.k.a. Brookvale. The Manly Sea Eagles coming off their loss to the Tigers and the Roosters. They'll be bouncing back from their, hoping to bounce back from their loss against the Rabbits. Mate, the Battle of the Birds here on the Northern Beaches. Can Manly stack up against the Roosters?
Yeah, this is probably... traditionally, the last few years have been a fairly low-scoring affair when these two have played, from memory. I can't see the Roosters putting in another subpar performance, mate. I think the Roosters are going to click here, and I think they're going to get it done by 16 points this week.
Well, I think you might want to get your memory tested, mate.
Which one?
Well, the fact that you think they're normally a low-scoring affair, the last three games have been 80 points, 42 points, and 54 points.
Must have been the one before that, then.
Yeah, it was still 30 points. There hasn't been too many low-scoring. 42, 56. Do you want me to keep going? If you go back to 2014, it was an 8-0 game. I'll let you have that one.
That was probably what I was thinking about.
Yeah, you're getting old, mate. That memory's fading. Yeah, the recent things aren't so good. It's the ones from way back in the day, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Long-term memory's terrible.
No, other way around, mate, but anyway, that's alright. So you can't even remember what you can't remember.
That's right.
So how much are you tipping who?
The Roosters by 14.
Right, low scoring, the Roosters by 14. What are you going, 14-0, are you?
Nah, it'll be 26-12.
It's not low scoring, Jesus. I'm going to go to the Roosters by 18. I think their all-star backline will kick into gear against basically a backline of nobodies. I mean, they've got, Brendan Elliott, Brad Parker, Ruben Garrick. Names like this, like none of them are exactly, you know, bustling household names. Versus James Tedesco, Morris, Tupou, Manu, and so on. So Latrell Mitchell, Kieran Cronk. So, yeah, look for the Roosters to win this one comfortably and by 18 points. Next up, mate, the Bulldogs, they were woeful against the Warriors last week. Unfortunately for us, for some reason, we both thought the Bulldogs were going to win, which shows what we know. They take on the Eels at ANZ Stadium on Sunday afternoon, the 4 o'clock time slot, mate. Who do you like here?
I like the fact that our man Ziggy's refereeing, mate. That's a positive in this game.
I thought you would have been more excited about who's refereeing the game that we just did.
No, I like Ziggy.
Your mate Chech. He's back.
Yeah, there you go. What I like about the Eels last week in the wet, mate, they obviously lost to Brown early. I like the maturity shown by young Dylan Brown on debut. He was fairly impressive. I can't see the Dogs getting over here, mate. They're a basket case at the moment, and I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And with that, I'll probably win, but I'm going to pick the Eels by 12.
Yeah, I think the Eels will win as well, but just this one, statistically and historically, is a low-scoring encounter, mate. Their last five encounters, the highest score has been 32 points in total, which has happened twice. The Eels have never won this by more than 14 in the last few years, so I'm going to go the Eels to win it by that margin, the Eels by 14. Finally, we have the West Tigers against the New Zealand Warriors out at the way Western Campbelltown Stadium. Mate, both sides coming off solid wins in their round one encounters. The Warriors much more impressive, probably riding a bit of a wave of emotion, and now sit atop the ladder. Mate, they make the trip over all the way out to sunny Campbelltown. Bring your stab vests and your crack pipes. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that it'll be pretty entertaining.
I'll have that with most games.
I'm hoping, a lot of tries, touch football like, but there's a lot to like about both these teams last week. The old veteran Robbie Farah had a field day, and I think the Tigers are not the team to beat in the competition, but I think they're going to be impressive early on, and I think they're going to carry on their winning ways, mate, and they're going to get it done by 9.
Tigers by 9. You love these random numbers, don't you?
Yeah. Play field goal, Benji. Left foot, snap.
Left foot?
Yeah.
Mate, you're on drugs. I don't know what ones they are, but, save your money. You've got 4 kids to feed. Don't be one of those people. Last two times that these two sides have met at Campbelltown Stadium, the Warriors have come off wins and bounced back to earth with losses. I think and both of them pretty high scoring, as you touched on, average of 63 points the last two times they've played here. So certainly expect points aplenty, and I think it'll be something like the Tigers 36, the Tigers 34, the Warriors 30. So the Tigers will win by 4. So that is the NRL, mate. We might change tax a little bit and move on to a competition where not that much happened, but we'll talk about it anyway over the weekend, and that was the NPL. Only 2 games got on, and that was the Friday game and the early Saturday fixture, and after that they decided it was too wet. It was only a couple of hours before the fixture that a couple of them got called off, and Edgeworth, they went down in an upset to the Charlestown City Blues, 2-1, mate. That was a bit of a surprise out there at Jack McLaughlin Oval.
It was, and probably not again like the league, mate, not what we predicted, but obviously Charlestown are fairly confident going into the year, mate, and their coach was fairly impressive with what they've got, and a bit of a surprise early, mate. But,
certainly was.
Bounced back.
It was a day of the Smiths out there. First of all, we had Oliver Smith opening the scoring after to follow on from his wonderful work last week, and then Shane Smith with a double very quickly after the 12th and the 36th. There's probably something to note, and I did hear this point made recently, that Charlestown on a heavy track, it's much more suited to them than it is probably to any other club in the NPL. Due to the fact that Lyle Carr, I mean, you've been up there, it's got a very damp feel to it. It's always, sort of damp and heavy underfoot. Because it is heavily shaded. I mean, it's in that little tucked away corner in Whitebridge there. So, I mean, essentially, the amount of rain that would have been around would have almost turned this into a home field, the turf itself for Charlestown. and may have played into their hands a little bit. Also playing into their hands probably was the fact that Edgeworth beat, you know, they beat the champions from the year before 6-1 the week before, and probably thought, well, this is going to be a cakewalk 2019. So I'm sure that their coaching staff, Zaney, will be addressing that pretty heavily. But well done to Charlestown on an upset win. I believe it's the first time since they've become Charlestown City Blues that they've won at Jack McLaughlin Oval.
Yeah, no, that's good.
So that's going back a fair way from their old Highfields Azuri and Charlestown Hammers days before they merged into one entity. In the other game, though, Saturday afternoon, Adamstown hosted Western Workers, and there was a bit of everything in this one. There certainly was plenty of goals, that's for sure, with Western running out 4-2 winners. There was also a late-ish red card, but, I mean, the game was pretty much done by that point. The red card was to Mr. Duncan, whose first name is escaping me at the moment. Judd Duncan, that's the one, yeah. I haven't yet had a chance to sort of view what happened, but apparently it was a little controversial, but the voice of Newcastle football, Ben Homer, his tip is that it was on the money, so I'll take his knowledgeable opinion on that one. So Hayden and Sokolsky were the goal scorers for the Rosebuds. Buswell, Lundy with a double, and Joel Burston with the final goal for Western for them to run out 4-2 winners. It was locked 2-2 at the half time. There was a about a 12-minute window there where there was four goals, so there was plenty on offer early for people who paid the price of admission, mate.
Yeah, and they would have got plenty of value sitting in the rain, mate. Yeah,
if you brave the conditions, it was well worth it. With, as I said, six goals.
Six goals in a red.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jackson Burson did well. Came on late in the 81st minute and got a goal in the 87th. So, but those two results were the only two of the weekend, and that sees a seven-way tie for first place, mate. So, just due to the fact that there's only been seven games, and everyone that's played, you know, all seven different winners. So, obviously, a bit of a catch-up to be had, and obviously, as we head into this weekend, there will be a change of that, and then we certainly won't have a seven-way tie. It'd be nice to see, you know, as we head into the finals, that there's only a couple of points separating, you know, first to seventh or something like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be good, mate. Keep it even and keep it game. It'd be good if all 11 teams are in contention going into the last round.
Yeah, I don't think that's likely nor mathematically, you know, algorithmically possible. I mean, you'd need to really have a real whirlwind of events for eight teams to be within, you know, striking distance of 3 points and four and against. But as we said, three of the games rescheduled, two of them rescheduled to early May. The Lake Macquarie versus Broadmeadow game has been pushed to the Saturday the 4th of May, and Maitland versus Valentine to Sunday the 5th of May. So I'm assuming that's a spare weekend. Hamilton and Lambton, they will clash next Wednesday. So we're recording this Wednesday night, so the 27th at 7:45 Darling Street, which means that those two teams will have a bit of a busy next sort of 8 or 9 days, 10 days.
They will, but they're on the big bucks, so they should be right.
I don't know about that, mate, but, you know, maybe Reece Cooper is. I don't know about the rest of them. Speaking of Lambton Jaffers, they will kick off round three of the Northern New South Wales NPL. They will take on Adamstown Rosebuds. Adamstown, one of the only teams to have played two games, and certainly the only team to have lost two games so far, and they really need to start accumulating some points if they want to be in that 11-way tussle for the finals that you talk about.
Yeah, that they will, mate. They will be disappointing, smarting, hurting, everything, all of the above, mate. But, I think Lambda's going to get this job done comfortably, mate. 3-1.
Yeah, again, mate, we must be reading each other's notes at some point here. I've got Lambton winning 3-0. And heaping a bit more pressure on Adamstown. Adamstown do have quite a difficult run coming up, I believe, too, because they've got Edgeworth. Then they play, they've got Lambton, then they play Broadmeadow. Then they play Charlestown. And they finish off their 4-week run with Edgeworth. So they really need to pick up some points, but I could realistically see them sitting after round six with none or 1 point.
Yeah, that's not too...
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Yeah, it's not too far off the realms, I don't think, mate.
No, exactly right. So they've got their work cut out for them. I think if you sit on 0 points after six rounds, you'd certainly be pushing the proverbial shit uphill to make the finals.
Yeah, that you you will, and it'll throw my mathematical equation out the window.
Might just be a 10-10 race. But next up, mate, we have Edgeworth. They are hosting Newcastle Jets Youth at Jack McLaughlin Oval. I think it'll be time for the Eagles to bounce back in front of their home fans. The Jets Youth have had a fair rest with the bye last week. They didn't miss the game, so they don't have anything to catch up, which is fortunate for them. But they haven't played a game in what will be essentially about 10 days by the time that kicks off, I think. So, yeah, look, Edgeworth with a bit of continuity. I think they'll bounce back and they'll get this one done 2-1.
Mate, looking at my notes now, so I reckon it'll be the same scoreline and the same Edgeworth 2-1.
Excellent, mate. Next up, we've got the Coal Cup, the Battle of the Coalfields team. The Western Workers hosting Maitland FC again, 7:30 on Saturday night at Rockwell Automation Park. Can Western upset Maitland? Maitland, mate, you talk about it, long time since their last game. Their last game was back in about August.
Yeah, I haven't been around on the park for a while, mate, but...
not in a competition game, no.
I'll be looking to start the year with a bang. But, Mr. Jallins, the coach, is on the repair, mate. Had a leg infection last week, so confidence will be high amongst the group, but I'm picking a 2-all draw in this one, mate.
Yeah, I've got Maitland winning 3-1, so the same number of goals is slightly different. Next up, mate, Charleston. Can they continue their run? They're back at home, Lyle Oval, 2:30 on Sunday. They host Lake Macquarie City, who are yet to taste victory in 2019.
Yeah, I think they're going to be buoyed by last week, mate. I'm expecting Good Child with a double and Charleston to win 3-1.
Yeah, I've got the Charleston City Blues, as much as it pains me getting this one done, 2-1. The final match of this round is the local derby, Broadmeadow versus Hamilton. I'm sure Hamilton will be taking every opportunity they can to remind Broadmeadow that they are currently coming 11th on the ladder. No love lost in this one, but beware the wounded champions.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit spicy, mate, and be interesting to see who the wet pitches play havoc on either of these teams, but I am going an entertaining 1-1 draw.
Yeah, right. I am going Broadmeadow to get it done, 4-2.
Well, that'll be exciting for the punters, mate.
Maybe it'll just be horrible defence.
Bill's going to kill you if it happens like that, mate.
Yeah, well, that sounds like Bill's problem. He's got to catch me first. Finally, mate, the catch-up game from round two. Hamilton, your boys hosting the Jaffers. Now, that will be played next Wednesday night, as we said, on the 27th. I'm tipping this one to be a riveting 2-all draw with Rhys Cooper to score a late long-range equaliser.
Late long-range equaliser. Well, I think I went Hamilton last week, mate, and I am going to stick it with them, and yeah, they're going to get it done. 2-1.
Lovely, mate. So just having a look at the draw for them. So Hamilton obviously play Sunday, so they only have a 3-day turnaround. And then they back up again on the Saturday. So they've actually got 3 games in 7 days. The Jaffers, just having a look, so they'll have 3 in 8 days. So not a huge difference. But both got big games to come off the back of these fixtures as well, with Lanthan going up to Maitland and then Hamilton hosting Charlestown City, who could be on a 2-game winning streak by that point. So, yeah, certainly a man management, especially as we say, if they are heavy pitches over the next couple of weeks, people are a bit clumsier, legs are a bit heavier from those runs. So, certainly be interesting to see how things pan out over the next couple of weeks, mate.
Yeah, that it will, but, I think, as you said, I think hopefully they get on. They don't want a log jam of games later in the year and midweek catch-ups.
Maitland felt the brunt of that a couple of years ago. We're talking about that off-air. I think they played something like 16 or 17 or 18 games in like 10 or 11 weeks. It was crazy. They were playing essentially every 3 days. And the other problem with that is it gives you almost no opportunity to like have any game training if things are falling apart. You can't really do a proper game sense drills. You can only just do like recovery, which makes it really difficult when you've got, you know, constant 3 and 4 day turnarounds. But I guess we'll wait and see. Hopefully the rain sort of is more intermittent rather than constant over the next, you know, next month or so. But yeah, I guess we'll watch with bated breath what happens. And obviously there's some pitches that are a bit better accustomed to wet weather. I know that year when Maitland had a lot of issues, they moved a few of their games down to the Lake Macquarie Regional Football Facility down at Spears Point and stuff like that. So it might be interesting to see if teams do start to get two or three games backed up, if they start to try and do that earlier rather than hoping and waiting and then realising, oh, Jesus, we've got seven catch-up games or four catch-up games, because that could really throw off a finals campaign. But that's probably enough about NPL, mate. We'll move on to the really big bucks soccer, although based on the display they put in on the weekend, the NPL players probably should be on more money, and that is the A-League. We might start off briefly just with a recap on last week's game, mate. Have you sat down and watched it in full yet? Have you put yourself through that?
No, I saw bits and pieces, mate.
Mate, you are a rubbish fair weather fan.
Some of us have to referee the hottest tens in Armidale, mate.
The hottest tens, is that what they're calling it? That's a bit of a rip-off.
Self-anointed, mate.
But, mate, I didn't say you're watching it live. Like, you could have watched the replay.
Yeah, I saw most of the game, but... Yeah,
I'm here for results, not excuses, Jared.
It's full of excuses up this end, but it was sluggish and disappointing, mate. But yeah, it probably hurt us more than hopefully we know. But yeah, I'm hoping the week off does something to rebuild something. But
something.
Yeah, but
magic.
The only benefit of this week, Ernie Merrick got off his fine, so that's one positive.
Oh, you're still found guilty. You just didn't have to pay the fine. Yeah, so. Yeah, look, it was certainly interesting. I don't know, have you seen anything around the penalties and the retake and the retake?
The retake for the when he's inside the box.
So yeah, so obviously Roy took the first penalty. Hit it low to one side, but BK saved it, Ben Kennedy, and then it was adjudged that because Newcastle then buried it in the back of the net. But then it was adjudged that the Newcastle players were inside the box, but so were the Mariners players. They were in front of the Newcastle players. So he got to retake the penalty. A lot of people criticising him for hitting it back to the exact same spot. My thoughts were, and I actually said it out loud when I was sitting there, before he took the second one, and that is, I'd hit it back to the same spot. Well, obviously, you try and execute it a little bit better, a little bit closer to the, you know, the post and those sorts of things, but then the goalkeeper's expecting you to go somewhere different, isn't he?
That is correct.
So it's a double bluff. Yeah. But anyway, that's irrelevant. When you see the freeze frame of the second penalty, there was two, at least if not three, Mariners players inside the box when he struck the ball again.
Oh, controversy, mate.
Controversy. But at the end of the day, mate, when you let in three goals and trail 3-0 against the Mariners, you don't deserve to win. Although, you know what, more than anything, not even about the finals race or anything else, I really wanted the Jets to come back and draw or win that game, due to the number of people who walked out of that stadium when we were down by three goals. Well, that's just shithouse. Like, there's no other excuse for it. Like, just stick behind your team. Like, I was having a chat with, you know, a friend of the show, Josh, who runs Crossbar Capers, and we were talking about it. Like, even if I was a Mariners fan right now, I'd still be turning up to games, getting behind them. Like, it'd be a bit harder. It'd be a bit harder to drag yourself to away games and stuff, but certainly home games. You know, you still got to support your team through the good and the bad, you know, for better or worse. You know, it's essentially like a marriage, I guess.
Yeah, you're right, mate. Especially if you're in town and you've got nothing on, mate, it's get down there.
Don't book anything on if you're in town. Like, unless you've actually got a commitment that, you know, like another sporting or work commitment.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I mean, it wasn't a bad crowd considering the weather and stuff. I mean, they did the right thing. They opened up the top of the grandstand so that everyone could get up in there. Some brave souls still braved the hills, although there wasn't that much rain during the game itself. But, it was disappointing. Like, you saw what we did in the last, 20 minutes. If we had played like that for the full 90, we would have won 10-0.
Yeah, sure would have, mate.
So, yeah, really disappointing from the side. But, look, as you say, back to the drawing board for them. And I guess we'll wait and see what happens. Other results didn't go our way on the weekend. The three sides that we needed to lose, only one of them did. Melbourne City upset Sydney FC 2-0. Wellington Phoenix beat Western Sydney Wanderers 3-1. Adelaide United did the right thing by us to keep us with a slight sniff when they went down 2-0 to Perth Glory. So, those results all in themselves essentially all but hand the Premier's plate to Perth with five games to go, they're 9 points clear. They only need to, if they pick up 6 points, they can't be caught. But if Sydney or Melbourne drop points on the way home, it also minimises how many they need. And yeah, so that's certainly an interesting one on the way home, but you'd pretty much call that now.
Yeah, I think it'll be tough for me, mate, but yeah, I think they won't make the semis.
Perth won't.
Are you
paying attention?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the Jets.
We're talking about the Premiers.
Look at the Premiership, mate. They'll get it done with four games to go.
Well, they can't get it done with four games to go.
Well, they will. No one will catch them. They'll win the next one. Sydney will lose. Melbourne Victory will lose, and that'll be game over, mate. All she wrote.
Can that actually occur though? Because who plays next week?
Perth play Melbourne. So yeah, Perth will win, and Sydney will lose to Brisbane, and there you go, game over.
I don't think that'll happen, mate. But all right, we'll wait and see. I think you're clutching at straws, but I'm not sure if you remember, but back in about round 13 or 12, I called that the Jets won't make the finals, mate. You poo-pooed me.
Yeah, well, they were cruising, mate.
Mate, it's not AFL. You're not getting rewards for missing.
No, that's right.
And I don't know if I'd call it cruising. They won a couple of games.
But yeah, well, Ernie's still instilling the belief that they can make it, mate, so...
Yeah, well, I guess, you know.
Let's hope he's right and we're wrong.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. The next couple of games are quite crucial. We've obviously got Wellington, Wanderers. Then we go over to Perth. And we finish...
Second last round, Brisbane.
Brisbane away in Brisbane, correct? And we finish with Sydney at home, I believe. Look, you know, there's winnable games in there, but, you know, we play the top two sides in there. Even 9 points from here is probably not going to be enough. We're probably going to need, in my mind, we need 11 or 12 probably to be confident of making it. Maybe 10, 36 might get it done, but, geez, you'd think Adelaide might get at least another win or two on the way home. They finished with Brisbane on Anzac Day. You know, you have a look at their draw. They also play Melbourne City, who, yeah, they had a win on the weekend, but they're not in great form. They play Wellington, who are about the same, you know, sort of level, and they play the Mariners next week. So, you know, you'd almost chalk up. Yeah, I know the Mariners beat us, but they've only won two games all year. So you chalk up those 3 points. That takes Adelaide to 34. That means we need 9 points to get past them because they've now got a superior, you know, pretty much everyone in front of us has got a superior goal difference. So it's a long way back, mate.
Yeah, it is, mate. It is, and... just hang in there. Ernie thinks 3 wins will do it. I think he's smoking whatever pipe I've been smoking, but I think they'll need at least 4 wins.
Well, yeah, three wins would only get us to, 35, and if Adelaide only need to get one more point, we need to get three very comfortable and strong wins and very tight losses in those other two. I guess if we're going to have a hope of that, you would think, mate.
3 wins, 2 draws. Are we home?
That should get us home. I'll put it this way: if we go through the rest of the season undefeated, including the finals, we should lift the trophy.
Yeah, well, yeah, just got to score more goals than the opposition, mate.
Well, no, even the same amount would do that. So, well, actually, yeah, you're probably right in that. Yeah, I guess even going undefeated won't necessarily guarantee it because that could just be 5 draws. But I think we're rambling now, mate. We might move along. The Newcastle and Hunter Rugby Union starting to ramp up. Only a few weeks of the season starts. There's a bunch of trials this weekend. Most of the games are multiple grades. Most of the first grade games will be around 3 o'clock kickoffs. Where are they and which clubs are playing?
The Merriweather and the Carlton are playing Maitland this week, mate, at Gibbs Brothers.
Yep.
First grades at 4.
Yep.
Wanderers are playing Hamilton Hawks at Danger Park.
Mm-hmm.
Singleton Rugby Club are playing University and Terrigal in a 3-way trial at Rugby Park.
Well, you've got to be careful with rugby players in 3-ways.
Yeah, that is correct. And local boys Lake Macquarie are hosting Hornsby out at Dale Macaulay Oval, mate, Disneyland.
Dale Macaulay Country, he loves it. Is he refereeing the first grade game?
No, he's actually not refereeing this week, which is very surprising.
Oh, mate, he's probably got some, you know, public speaking engagements to talk about his refereeing career or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably got prior engagement. He's saving himself up for ARing or a 4 for next week for the Super Rugby game, mate.
Oh, you just put him in the middle.
Yeah, well,
he'd be better than the SCG pitch, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, well. Is there any truth in the rumour that Dale's nominated himself as Newcastle and Hunter Rugby Union's most eligible bachelor?
No, I believe he could be, but yeah, I don't know what his wife would say about that, mate.
Oh, she must be a catch. He's a catch, that's for sure.
That's right, no one with the bar, mate. He gets anything he wants.
We love Dale. He's a great man. That's Newcastle Hunter Rugby Union, mate. We might move on to the Newcastle District Cricket. They're at the finals time of year. There's a big, result on the weekend, and some people might have some questions about this, my friend.
What's that, Hamilton and the Uni get washed out?
No, mate. More so the West and Merriweather result.
Yes, well.
After the announcement of contrived results, I've heard there's a few people that were not impressed by this.
I believe university boys were not overly impressed by the goings-on after they called their match earlier in the day, mate. But, obviously West needed a reverse outright after their woeful position after the first innings loss, mate. And they tried to, do an unthinkable and get the reverse outright to give themselves a chance of defending their crown, mate. But, Merriweather, the old veterans, mate, they got it done.
They certainly did. The young buck was one of the keys, Zach McGuigan. But Mr. O'Neill, start again.
Did, mate. The new ball demon.
Yeah, mate, what can he do? Back-to-back, 5-wicket hauls, 10-wicket match. He is an absolute superstar. Ended up with match figures, by my reckoning, of about 10 for 94, off about 40 odd overs, which is pretty impressive. Just over 2 and over, 10 wickets. In wet weather conditions, it's normally much more favourable to, pace and seam. Obviously he was getting a bit of, variable bounce and different things, and did what he does.
He does. He just keeps on going, mate.
And that sees Merriweather sneak into the finals. There's a few other results that sort of, Toronto being bowled out for 40 by Newcastle City, which cost them the minor premiership.
Yeah, very.
They'd be very disappointed, I would have thought. I don't think anyone saw that coming. I don't think Newcastle City's bowled anyone out, even Waratah, for those sorts of numbers.
No, and it was, it's funny, it's good some of the clubs still update their Facebook page, as we found out on Saturday afternoon. Some do it ball by ball on My Cricket, so it was sort of interesting, seeing the My Cricket and the Facebook going off at different times. But yeah, Sam O'Sullivan, 6 wickets, mate, for 22 runs, very impressive.
Certainly was, mate, and I guess that probably leads us into our final Player of the Year. Points.
Yes.
And now, what I want to see from you, and I don't want it in any particular order, we're a little bit, we're about 5 minutes up our sleeve here, so don't use all of it. How many of the top 10 do you think you can name straight off the top of your head without looking at images? I mean, I'll probably send it to you, I think, but.
No, you haven't sent it to me for 2 weeks. I reckon I can get 7.
Yeah, right. Well, let's go from, any order. Don't necessarily name them from, who you know is finished on top or anything like that, because we don't give that away yet. But and I can tell the punters out there that there was only 1 point that separated first and second at the end of the season.
One person would be Tom or Tim O'Neill.
Yes, Mr. O'Neill is in there.
Yes, another one would be Nathan Hudson.
Yep.
Sas Puzzagola.
Sash is there.
Obviously, Daniel Arms.
Yes.
Jeez.
I'll take any of the top 13, because from 8th to 13th, we're all level.
We're all level.
Come on, mate. Quick game's a good game.
Nathan Price.
Yes, correct.
That's 5, isn't it?
That is. Come on, mate.
Jonty Durham?
Wrong. Jonty Durham finished 34th.
Oh, Ben West and Griffin Lee.
Ben West, wrong. Griffin Lee, yes. Get one more strike, mate. You're up to six. Gee. Ben West finished 14th.
Not Peter Robinson.
Come on, hurry up.
I don't know.
Stump me. So you've got six. All right, there we go. We'll run through, mate. We'll go from 20th. On 15 points was Abe Gibson. Four players tied for 16th. Andrew Harriet of University, Jed Dixon of Charlestown, Ben Balcom of Hamwicks, and Brad Aldous all on 20 of Hamwicks. We then had in 15th on his own, Aaron Bills on 21. In 14th on his own, on 22, Ben West from Stockton. We then had, as I said, six players tied for 8th spot. We had all on 23 points. Sam Weber of Hamwicks, Jacob Montgomery of Wall's End, Zach McGuigan of Merriweather, Griffin Lee of Toronto, Adrian Chad of Toronto, Daniel Arms of Charlestown. In equal six, two players on 25 points, Pat McGann of Wall's End and Joe Price of West, both of whom you missed. In fifth place, Sash Pusagola on 36 points. In fourth place, Nathan Hudson of University on 37 points. Third place, Daniel Chillingworth of Charlestown on 39 points. The top two on 44 and 45 points. In first, Nathan Price, Wall's End, 45. He hangs on to beat Tim O'Neill of Merriweather, who came home with a late charge, 44. Mate, it came down to the finish we talked about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and we said it's going to take something big. Tim O'Neill finished with an absolute flurry.
Is he on about 5 at Christmas?
Yeah, that'd be correct. He was on 5 on the... he was on 10 at Christmas. He was still on 10 on the 11th of February.
Jeez, he has come home.
Yeah,
massively, mate. Hopefully the Jets can get on whatever he's on, mate.
Yeah, so in the last six polling days, he's polled four times and got 34 points. So, interestingly enough, Nathan Price has only polled... We got 9 votes since the 2nd of December. So if you put together their first half and back half of the season, there's nearly 100 votes there.
Yeah, that's right. Did all his damage early on, mate.
Yeah, correct, mate. So we'll put up some lists of sort of the top 4 or 5 from each club over the next week or so as the finals go on. Interestingly enough, mate, your man Simon Keane played one game, finished equal 27th.
One game. Yeah, Didn't come back.
No, exactly. Hey, lucky he didn't play 3 or 4. He might have won it.
Oh, he played one other, didn't he? He played one other T20 game, I think.
Did he? I'm not too sure about that.
The double weekend, I believe.
All right, yeah, possibly, but he didn't poll any votes then, so...
No, he didn't.
So, again, congratulations. He wins just about everything in Newcastle cricket, Nathan Price, but when he was on 22 votes after the first 5 playing days of Newcastle cricket, he was looking good. They got half of his votes in the first 5 days. He peeled off 300 or 400. He dominated the rep scene as well. So well done to Nathan. Certainly did very well, mate. Little stat for you on the back of that too. Who was the highest polling club?
I would say Charlestown.
They were indeed 127 votes. Wall's End second on 104. And Toronto third on 93. City and Waratah the equal lowest on 16 each. So Stockton picked up their tally with a few of those wins in the T20 cricket. Some other surprise ones, University down in the 80s, Merriweather in the 80s, West only 78, and Belmont 41. So unfortunately Belmont, Waratah and Newcastle City couldn't have beat Nathan Price as a team. But anyway, that's the Newcastle District Cricket Player of the Year, so I'm sure we'll make a nice certificate that we'll mail out to Nathan Price or something that he can put on his mantelpiece and treasure along with his 4 or 5 black caps that he's got for getting picked in the Australian Indigenous side. Probably more than that by now. But, mate, on to the semi-finals this weekend. We'll just look at the first grade. We have Hamwicks playing Merriweather at Passmore Oval, and Toronto playing Charlestown at number 1 Sports Ground. Congratulations, speaking of Charlestown, on winning the club championship with a flurry on the last day. and also on being the only club to get all four grades into the final. It's a great effort. It's amazing what they can do now. They've shed the weight of your baggage, mate.
Yeah, that is true. Merriweather did also sneak four teams in, mate.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, no, I just had a look because in the sparring against Charleston in second grade. But yeah, I think it's going to add a bit of intrigue this weekend. Obviously, Merriweather will be absolutely full of confidence. Hamleys will be obviously happy and relief they got the minor premiership. And I think Toronto's probably going to go in not overly confident after last week's shellacking at the hands of City, mate. So it could be an interesting weekend, and hopefully we get some cricket on and the top two teams don't progress through. But yeah, I'm going to go Charlestown to get the job done at number one. Obviously Toronto don't have the home ground advantage, but they'll still enjoy playing in there. Yeah, I think Charlestown's going to get it done in there, and yeah, I think they'll be playing Hamleys in the final, mate. A repeat of the earlier final early in the year, mate. But
T20 final.
What? Semi final.
The
T20 final.
Yeah, that's what I said. T20 final.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah.
You just said the earlier final. You did. Sorry, I was just clarifying.
Yeah, I'll just be interesting to see if Passmore does turn as much as Townsend, mate.
Yeah, it certainly will. I wouldn't have thought they'd put down a turner. They've got a couple of spinners, but not known for being a raging turner. In terms of that, certainly not a turner of the likes of Scott Logan, that's for sure.
No, that's right. And Timmy O'Neill will be licking his lips if it does turn square, mate.
He certainly will. He'll be he'll be the difference if that's the case, but. Yeah, if it was played at Townsend, you'd be hard pressed not to back them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%.
So certainly some interesting fixtures. I'm just looking through it. Hamilton. I read a stat the other day. Hamilton haven't beaten a top six side in 2 day cricket, the finished minor premiers. And that when they haven't played Merriweather, I don't believe. I don't think they're in the same pool of the T20, and they're Tom Lockett. They're supposed to play in round one of the Tom Lockett, and it was washed out. So I don't know if you can remember. I'm just trying to find the stats on the NCC Summer Bash to see whether they would have played in that competition. And Pumas...
No, they didn't.
No, they're in different pools. So these two sides have not clashed this year. It's the two season campaigners, mate. They come up against each other, two season campaigner sides. And then you have, obviously, the two sides that are littered with a handful of young pups, with the likes of Griffin Lee coming up against Daniel Chillingworth, probably the two picks of bowlers outside of the wily veteran, O'Neill so far in 2018-19.
Yeah, is true. Obviously, Griffin Lee, he's done well to come back from his injuries, mate, early season. Two 8-wicket hauls in the last couple of months, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, mate, I'm going to go Charlestown to win as well, and I think that Merriweather may spring an upset against Hamleys. Hamleys a bit rusty from, high-level competitive cricket. We saw University almost batter them into submission. It'll certainly be interesting to see what Merriweather can do. They've got plenty of batting. Their batters have found some form on the weekend on what wouldn't have been an easy deck to bat on. Townsend with a bit of moisture on it. I'm going to go a third versus fourth grand final. And if I'm going to make the prediction from here out, Charleston will take their second piece of silverware for this season.
Yeah, well, I'm going to Charleston Hamleys, but Charleston's beaten Hamleys a couple of times this year, mate, and I can't see why they wouldn't do it again. Obviously, at number one, they'll know the conditions as well, mate, so hopefully they can hang on and add another trophy to the big trophy cabinet, mate. Get Ollie and Kath in a happy mood.
And Kath's always in a happy mood. I don't know what you're talking about, mate. The ledger does stand 2-1 between Charlestown and Hamleys this year, obviously. So it'll certainly be interesting to see if they do come up against each other. They've played each other plenty this season. It'll be an interesting one, that is for sure. But something that we might have to address if and when we get to that point down the track.
Yeah, that's right, mate. So, a couple more days. Getting excited and see what happens. And your fan favourite, mate, Scotty Logan, they snuck home, so he's on the weekend too, mate.
I didn't know Uni made the final in fifth grade.
Yeah, well, they made it in second grade and they needed a 12th man, so he put his hand up.
Yeah. Used to carrying people's drinks, just don't ask you to bring a passport.
That's true.
But yeah, so that brings us to a close. Obviously, yeah, as we said, the fixtures Saturday, Sunday this week, not two Saturdays, so plenty to wrap up from there. But get down, enjoy your local footy, soccer, cricket, whatever you can get to this weekend. We'll try and publish. I'm just waiting for a list of the Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League trials to come through, but they haven't been confirmed as of yet, as we're just waiting on teams that are going ahead. And as I'm sure you can imagine, mate, it's a fine art and just knuckling down the numbers to make sure teams themselves make sure they've got enough numbers to play a trial. If you don't want to organise a trial and then have the other team turn up with 30 players and you've got seven. So, friend of the show, mate, Chris Longworth, I'm hearing a whisper, 1:30 on Saturday, he might make an appearance out at Woodbury. So you might be worth going and having a look at that, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would be entertaining.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what he'll be doing out there, but he said he's going to go out to the footy and get amongst it. So. But that'll pretty much wrap us up, mate, I guess. A big thanks to our sponsors. We've got Matthews Mowing and Maintenance. We've also got Aerolax Australia and Primax Sports Cards and Collectibles. Thank you very much again for tuning in. Thanks, Jared, for your time.
All good, mate.
And we'll see you when we next speak to you.